Want to get your business in front of real sports fans? The Fade Route with D and Z reaches over 1,000 listeners every month. Are you ready to be part of the in crowd?
Yes!
Email us today. Hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and find us on our socials at Fade Route Podcast. Time to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
T-minus 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coming at you from the AO Studios. It's the Fade Route with D and Z. Here are your hosts, D and Z.
Powered by Riverside FM.
Coming at you live from the AO Studio.
AO.
It's the Fade Route with D and Z. I am D. We've got a great show for you tonight.
Yeah, we do.
The Browns named their starting quarterback.
That's great.
Jesus.
Clay takes his talents to South Beach, and apparently there is crying in baseball. We begin today's show. I know Z's very excited. The college football season kicks off this week.
Woo!
And there's a couple of, you know, garbage games out there, you know, homecoming games just to kick off the season. You want to get that W started, but there are some games of consequence. We have Washington playing Washington State, and we have Notre Dame playing Wisconsin, and then we have LSU playing Clemson and USC playing Stanford. So, Z, what are you excited about in this college football kickoff?
What am I excited for in this season overall? I mean, if you look at the preseason top 25, the reigning defending champion, Indiana Hoosiers, are in at number 6. Whereas Ohio State,
number 1, right?
Number 1. Oregon, number 2. Georgia, number 3. Yeah. Notre Dame, 4. Texas, 5. With Arch Manning. Texas,
LSU
number
6.
Number 5. LSU, I have Indiana 6. LSU, LSU's 11. 11.
How's and that's, feel about
that? I don't know. I think that's why he's, you know, poaching the pros.
Already. He just got here, man.
It's like, bro, why are you starting shit already?
Why are you starting shit?
Why are you starting shit? And we're starting this season. We're kicking off this wonderful affair just like I thought we would. North Carolina TCU. Yeah! Let's fucking go.
Is Bill coaching?
I have no idea. I mean, I know Steve isn't.
Is Jordan going to be there?
I know Steve isn't. So let's put it that way. I mean, that is something right there. And, you know, you expect Indiana to take a little bit of a hit because Mendoza is gone, but the infrastructure is still there with Cignetti. Right? I believe they have a transfer quarterback, but who doesn't have a transfer quarterback these days? But the infrastructure is there for Indiana to still be good, right? It's that team was not just Fernando Mendoza. It was a juggernaut last year. Now, when we talk about the mass exodus from the NFL back to the pros, it's a little coming with a little bit of a wrinkle. The Big Ten is not allowing this to happen. Every other conference says, sure, come on in, but not the Big Ten. So I wonder if these Big Ten schools, like Ohio State, like Michigan, are they going to take a hit because they're not getting back some of these quality players? You know, at the end of the day, I expect Georgia to be there because, you know, Georgia's a perennial at this point. Alabama's 13th.
13.
Yeah, we said it, man. They are not what they used to be, right? They're name only. They're not the feared Crimson Tide that they've used to be. Now, I know you like to make this argument for the Yankees. Teams are spending, right? NIL. Everybody's doing it, and everybody's doing it on above board, over the table, probably still under the table, but mostly above board, over the table. It's legal now. And now with this rule, I mean, Lane Kiffin appears to be taking advantage of it. But at the end of the day, I firmly expect that college football is going to play out exactly how we think it's going to be. And by the time it all boils down and we've gone through all of this and we get through the college football playoff, you're going to end up with Georgia and Ohio State. I figure you're just going to end up with the chalky of the chalk. I have a bad feeling that we're going through the season as a formality. And, you know, you would like to think that, oh, the little engine that could continue, right? That the Indiana Hoosiers could continue to
Wait a minute. That North Carolina game, that's not even being played in American soil, is it?
No, it is not.
It's being played in where? Dublin.
It's in Dublin.
Ireland.
They can keep them. They can keep them. They can keep Unk. Just right there. Absolutely. I mean, go as far down the list you want. Who would you... I mean, BYU at 14. Probably Louisville at 24. Mizzou at 25. Those teams aren't bubbling up. Right? They don't have the infrastructure that Cignetti put in place to make Indiana as good as they are. So, and I expect a step back. I expect them to be good. I expect them to make the college football playoff, but I don't expect them to be national championship good. So I think it's going to be a return to what we've known. And that is Georgia, and that is Ohio State at the end of the day, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, I just think what it's going to come down to is Indiana is the new Clemson, right? I think Clemson was hot, right? They had Trevor Lawrence, they had Deshaun Watson, they had Dabo Sweeney. They had all these top flight wide receivers. They had Travis Etienne. They had all these good players. And then really, for the last five seasons, they have done dick. They haven't done anything. They've been getting slapped around.
But that's also been because Dabo has stubbornly said he is not going to dip into the NIL pool. So I wonder at what point does he get overridden by the boosters? Or what does he get overridden by his AD? Saying, you know, dude, you got to fucking play by this rule. We are losing out on talent. Like, we have the money. Let's go. Like, how long are you going to sit on your principles?
Yeah, I don't know. But I feel like, you know, you have these teams that pop up every once in a while. They're good for a couple of years, and then we forget about it. And I just feel like this is going to be the situation with Indiana. I think for the next 4 or 5 years, they'll be relevant. They'll be good. They're not going to be as good as they were last year. They had an undefeated season, and they won the national championship. Their quarterback won the Heisman, went number one overall. Like, no, I don't foresee that. I guess that was the Trevor Lawrence, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe there is a Deshaun Watson coming with a little less controversy. But yeah, I agree with you. I think it's going to be chalk. I just think these Big Ten schools and these SEC schools, it's just going to be hard to compete against them. Kirby Smart's a damn good coach. I think Alabama stays where Alabama is. Alabama's reign is over. I don't think we're going to see Alabama really competing for a national championship.
No.
Maybe not even our lifetime, to be honest with you. They've had their moment in the sun. We'll see who comes back this year. We'll see who pops up. But, you know, I just don't see what you get out of scheduling good games. There's no point. Now that the playoffs are expanded, my goal is really just to make the playoff. I can make the playoff by not playing anybody. All I have to do is win all my games.
Right.
And make sure I win my conference games, and then I'll be there. So, and then it's so long. This is what I is. So for me, I'm not very excited about college football right now. I think, you know, in a couple of weeks, maybe at the end of September, early October, we'll just have a better idea where everybody stands and what everybody's about, and there might be some more competitive balance at that point, but. it's hard to get up for, like, Ohio State against Ball State. It's hard to get up for the North Carolina TCU. Like, this thing just doesn't do anything for me. I guess the thing I'm curious to see is Arch Manning, right? Curious to see how good Oregon's going to be. I'm curious to see these young quarterbacks take the stage and watch them compete for a national title, compete for a Heisman, and compete for the number one overall pick next year.
I mean, this is the quarterback draft, as you like to say. This is it.
It was supposed to be last year, but meh. Guys, like, I want to get drafted by the draft.
No. And you know
oh,
what?
Hell no.
Here's the funny part.
I'm going to pay 10 mil, play college ball one more year. No problem.
Exactly. I mean, it behooves them to stay. But that's the beauty part. The Jets are forever. The Jets will always be waiting for you.
The Jets are waiting for you.
You're
going
to run out of eligibility. The Jets will still be there.
I'll retire. I won't play another down.
I will go play in the UFL. I don't care. I'll go play Canadian.
I don't have to play football at all. I need $10 million playing college football. I'm good, man.
I will go try out for the U.S. men's flag football
interest.
Team.
I'll go buy a shithole in Podunk, Ohio or Podunk, Wisconsin. And I'll just live off the interest. I'll run a cab company or something. Fine.
Blake Bortles. I'll do construction. I'm good.
Greetings, football fans. This is Rita, your thrice champion in the Option Pick'em Football Challenge with D&Z. Each week, we pick the winners for every NFL regular season matchup and compete to see who comes out on top. It's free to join, and the winner gets the ultimate bragging rights and a chance to record this spot next year. Are you in? Come test your skills against me, D, Z, and the rest of the league. Visit the Fade Route socials, click Join the Option, and sign up today. Good luck, and we'll see you for week one.
Well, one person wishes they were making dollars, and that's Deshaun Watson. The Browns named him the starter after a brilliant interview over the weekend where he told reporters that he has no regrets, none whatsoever. And the thing that he remembers most is how Browns fans cheered as he tore his Achilles the last time he played in Cleveland. Man, how excited are you for Cleveland Browns' third game? Because their first two games are on the road. They play Tampa and they play Carolina, and then they come home. Man, what is the dog pound going to be like?
Provided he survives the first two games, right? 27.
He has to. If he plays terribly, I can't. Go. Just go.
27. Not touchdowns, not interceptions.
I would love to see in the PR department, like, while he was saying this interview, and just be like, is this really happening right now?
This is it. I'm going to put it out there for you. You remember Black Sheep?
Yeah.
When Chris Farley gets high as a kite at the Rock the Vote. Just like, hey, man! And then the Rastas are over in the corner saying, yeah, Whitey, yeah. No! Oh, no! We're not going to do that. That's the PR department. That is the Browns PR department. And they're like, we thought we had a handful of Shador.
Are you crying?
What is going on right now? It's like, are you updating your resume right now? What is this? Like, are you drafting a resignation letter? Oh, shit. Yeah. Oh my God,
no
Mike
regrets.
Donald, how you doing?
Tons of beer, right in the corner.
Howard, people,
imagine you get back into after the interview. They walk in the back room. He's like, "All right, so how did I do?" Offhand, I say you failed.
How'd I do? Put your hand behind your back. I guess I failed. To Tony Romo.
We're going to have to get you a contest.
And the scale of Mark Sanchez to Tony Romo. This is bad.
He walked out of there. The PR department was shocked, and the coach said, you're starting. You're our starter. Take the guts to say what you said.
Todd Monken's
there's something seriously wrong with you.
And I like it. And I like it. The number's 27. Civil lawsuits and accusations against Mr. Watson. 27. It's not one, not two, 27. No regrets. Nothing. Just like, Well, I just regret hearing them boo me as I tore my Achilles. Never mind the fact, his numbers, right? Seven tutties, five tutties. No, bro. This is not good. This is not good at all. Now, I understand in his 19, he's 9-10 as a starter for the Cleveland Browns. Browns aren't going anywhere. The Browns are what they are.
I just wonder if it's one of those things like when you go to the owner's meeting and you run into the Texans, you go, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you.
It's like, I mean, why? Like,
you talk about getting robbed. You talked about getting hoodwinked. But then again, they knew.
They knew, and they did it anyway.
And a bunch of other teams knew. And still wanted him.
It happened anyway. Yeah.
And then paid him. They paid him. Correct. $220.
Guaranteed. And, you know, then you got the whole Myles Garrett trade. And it's like that. This is a clown show of an organization. So at this point, are you doing it to showcase him for a trade? But who's going to take that? Who's going to take the civil bullshit that goes with it?
Right, if you're a Browns fan, right?
Well, you can't be happy about this.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. If you're a Browns fan, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't want him to succeed.
No.
You don't want the team to succeed, right?
No.
You don't want to win more than three games, right? Because you have a chance to set this right, right? If you are terrible this year, there is a quarterback draft next year. You can get your quarterback next year on a team that has talent. They do have talent. Junkins, they have receivers, they have the corners, they have talent. I know they traded away Myles Garrett, but they have talent, they have draft picks. But I'm just wondering, if you go into the season saying, okay, well, good. Start him. Play him. We're paying him.
Right.
So I don't care if he's bad. I don't care if he's good. Just play him. Let him go out there and earn it. And whatever happens, we live with. I can't imagine that Browns fans are going into the season thinking they're going to win the Super Bowl, right?
No, they're not
delusional like Jets fans, are they? They don't really think... No. They're going to win the Super Bowl this year, right?
I'm this good. Is our year,
fans,
damn it.
I think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year. They
what?
Really are. Yes. If you follow these crazy people on Facebook, these different fan pages, they're talking about Geno Smith. Like, I don't know what 7-on-7 drill they're watching. I don't know what... He ran a 7-on-7 where he completed no passes to his team in a 7-on-7. And they're like, man, he looks great out there. Looks great for what? What were you? Were we watching the same practice? What are you talking about? He should be lighting these guys up. And granted, in the preseason game, he did play well. I believe he was 7 for 7 with a touchdown. So
right now, if you're looking at it, like, but even if you like benched Watson and played Sanders, because Dylan Gabriel's not even in the conversation, right? Shedeur Sanders isn't much better. That's Pro Bowler Shedeur Sanders. My apologies.
He retired his college number. They don't even do that shit anymore.
His daddy retired his college number.
I can't remember the last time a college number got retired before his. They don't really do that in college.
No, they don't.
Especially now, there's going to be players bouncing from college to college. You're never going to be able to really retire a person's number.
No. But
I don't think Earl his number retired.
No. But in reality, like, $230 million guaranteed, and you're going to get the same output as if you play Shedeur Sanders. I mean, maybe somebody's crazy enough to, you know, to pull the trigger on that, right? Injuries happen, but if he performs and there's a team out there...
You just wonder if this was what they were going to do regardless. Right? You wonder if, regardless of how well Shedeur was in camp, was the plan
Watson's job.
Always, we're going to play him because we're paying him.
Yeah.
We're paying him, so play him. You know? And you wonder if that is, if money factored into this at all, because I don't think it's like the Kyle Murray situation where we can't start McCarthy and then go to Kyler. I don't think it's the same, right? Because in that situation, you got to start Kyler because he was the number one overall pick. He actually is a good player, and we could always go to McCarthy, right? In this situation, I don't think it's the same thing. I don't. I think this has everything to do with money. This is everything to, and if you're the coach, right? If you're the head coach, it's a no-brainer for you, right? It's like, we're gonna play him because you traded for him and you paid him.
Right.
And whatever happens this year happens. That's like, I feel like the coach almost has a free pass to fuck up this year. Like, whatever, man.
I don't know.
Paid the guy that they brought here, and that's what
honestly,
we're doing.
I don't know. I mean, I agree with your sentiment. Like, he's getting paid, so we're going to roll with it. But I don't know if Todd Monken gets a pass. As a first-year head coach, I don't know if he gets a pass, especially from that owner.
But if you were Todd Monken, wouldn't you do the same thing? Like, I wouldn't play Shador, right? Why would I play Shador? That doesn't make any sense. It behooves me to play the guy they traded for. This guy was here before I got here.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they've been waiting for. Why would I play the second year player? Why? Because let's be honest, the upside is with Shador, right?
Yes.
That's the upside.
100%.
The upside is with him. There's no way Watson is going to claim his Houston Texan throw into Stills and DeAndre Hopkins days. Like, that's not happening, right?
Right.
So really, I'm looking for competence from the offense. Don't throw the ball to the wrong team. Don't put the ball on the ground. So how can I possibly go with second-year player Shador Sanders, who ran an offense in Colorado State that has it's not mimic a pro offense, like, you know? So
it doesn't mimic a pro-style offense, but at the same time, you got the same production. You got the same numbers. If you look at it, it's eerily similar.
All right,
that's
so
not
even
good.
If the numbers are similar, you're still gonna go with Watson, right? Why would I play the younger guy? It doesn't make any sense. Why would I? Because
the worst thing
could happen is that Shador wins. If Shador wins and we're good, we don't get draft picks, and now I gotta pay Shador. Why would I want to do that? I'm gonna. Why? It doesn't.
Realistically, regardless of who is here, this team is not good. I don't think it matters.
I disagree. I think they have talent. They do have talent. They're not garbage. They have talent. They have talented players on both offense and defense.
We still picked them for dead fucking last in their division, though.
What happened?
Or we're still going to both pick them for dead fucking last in their division.
Yeah, we are. But
how last is last? Teams,
that's in large part, though, to the teams that are already in their division, right? I mean, they've got some heavy hitters. They've got some teams that have been on the cusp or have league MVPs, have former MVPs, have been to the Super Bowl, have been to AFC Championship games. Like, that's just because of who's in the division. If you put the Browns in the AFC South, I think they compete. They compete for third. They can compete with the Titans. They can play with, you know, they can play with those teams down. They can play with the Colts, I think.
Yeah, I'm not enamored with the talent like you are. And I think the Myles Garrett thing definitely, yes, you brought back Jared Verse, but I think you significantly weakened the defense. And this team was not a quarterback away. I mean, it was 3 years ago when he was hurt, right? That's why you make the move. And honestly, the worst thing they did was get rid of Baker Mayfield. I think if you injected them with truth serum, they might even agree with that statement. Shit, we fucked up. We shouldn't have listened to Odell Beckham Jr. And we should have kept Baker fucking Mayfield. We should have got him in a room and made him work it out. Because they had a lead on the Chiefs and could have gone to the AFC title game. That was the Cleveland Browns with Baker Mayfield. So, I think Cleveland is one of those franchises, like the Jets, that it doesn't matter what the hell they do, they're just destined to fuck it up.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So, even if they outkick their coverage and they're actually pretty decent, that's what, 6 wins?
Listen, last year, in their opening game, they lost to the Bengals 17-16.
Yes. I mean, that's more of an indictment of the Bengals.
Maybe, but I'm just saying,
that Bengals defense was shit.
But I'm just saying, they were able to neutralize players. They were in that game. I want to say they lost on a field goal at the end, I think, too. Like, they were winning, and I think they lost on a
McPherson
field goal at the end of the game. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to say, like, they can compete. It's not easy. They're not a rollover team. They do play hard, but they're not going to have Myles Garrett. They got a whole, I mean, Watson coming out of the tunnel. Game 3. he may not want to ever play for them again.
Enjoy.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto. We really care about what's under your hood.
But fantasy football season has arrived. Yesterday, ESPN had their whole fantasy football day where all the teams were getting drafted. A lot of teams will be drafting this weekend and next week. So, Z, in fantasy football, no, you're not a big fan of it, but, you know, what are some players people should stay away from this year, but then who are some other players that people should go and try and get?
As per usual, I am concerned about any offensive player on the San Francisco 49ers.
Seriously.
What the fuck?
Or get their backup.
Yes.
Get the backup.
Yes.
Like, I mean, this is
Ricky Pearsall's already done. Kittle's done.
They weren't even able to practice last week. The whole team's hurt.
You know, like,
their coach is getting into car accidents. Their owner's trying to pay for sex in a damn poor community. I don't know what's happening. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
So, I mean, stay away from any skill position player. I mean, even Christian McCaffrey. I would pump the brakes on Christian McCaffrey.
He had a lot of touches last year.
So much tread on the tire.
He's going to be 29 years old this year.
Yeah, no. Like, I would be concerned that you would have a slide back. The same reason, like, the change in the run game with the Lions, right? Losing or trading David Montgomery, I don't know how that could either unleash Jahmyr Gibbs or that can kind of slow down Jahmyr Gibbs. Because now you have Isaiah Pacheco. It's a different dynamic. So it's a little bit more volatile than it's been in the past. So, you know, that gives me a little bit of pause. Jaden Daniels, no. Like, just no. Out of respect, I went with him third out of respect for Jaden Daniels. So, no, I'm not touching him. I'm not touching Neighbors. I'm not touching Scataboo.
Dart. Is he going to be able to play over the week?
Who, Scataboo? Or
no, Neighbors?
I think they're going to have to kid glove him. I think that they kind of have to kind of make sure that he's all right, you know? And I hate saying that because, you know, when he was on the field, he is quite dynamic, but you have to manage his health already. So, that being said, like, those are the ones that I'm like, no, I'm all right. But as far as who is a go for me, I think Bucky Irving was just so banged up last year that he has to be healthy this year, right? He has. I mean, you're not going to take him RB1, pick one.
Who's right?
He could Bucky Irvin. Like, he could probably be, like, a, what, fourth round pick, maybe? Somewhere in there?
Yeah, four or five.
Yeah, somewhere in there. I think that could be a good value pick. You know, I think that a guy like Chuba Hubbard or Kyren Williams, like, those will be good options. Like, they're definitely going to get their opportunity. I don't know if he's going to be probably like a mid-round quarterback. I don't think he would go up very high. Tyler Shook. Like, I think he would... I think he's going to open some eyes fantasy-wise. I think he's going to sling the ball. I think he's going to absolutely have a better year.
I mean, they
have
a lot of weapons there, right? They've got Chris Olave. They have Travis Etienne. You have Kamara's the backup running back now, third down running back.
Right.
Yeah, so they've got some talent in the offense.
The Saints are going to be better than people think they're going to be. And Shook was better than anybody expected him to be, right? Because when they drafted,
he only played 10 or 11 games, but yep.
Yeah, so I mean, they wasted their time with Spencer Rattler, so you know, I think
next that Patrick Mahomes, right?
Yeah, so supposedly, but you know, I think there are a few options there, and even like if you were going to take, I mean, Daniel Jones's value is higher than it was going into last year, but as a backup, depending on who else you get, that could be a good like bye week cover. I think, you know, depending on the opponent, I think that might be okay. But I mean, his again, injuries kind of freak me out on some of these guys, and that's really, it's not performance. It's not going to be like Shador and Watson, where it's just like, no, absolutely fucking not. Like, these guys are like, there's potential there. Like, there's absolutely potential there. But I don't know. I think that those guys, there's a lot of feast or famine on the list I just put out there. So, you know, I do think that, you know, this is going to be a good running back year, though. I think a lot of running backs are going to put up some numbers. Yeah, JT is going to be at the top because JT's at the top. But I think that a lot of running backs are going to put together some really good solid years.
Yeah, so I agree with you about Shook. Like him. Tough guy. Like the way he plays. Surprise some people. I like Jefferson to have a bounce back year. I like Kyler Murray to have a bounce back year.
Juwan Jennings could be a sleeper.
Could be a sleeper. I really like the kid Jonah Coleman, who's the running back from the Denver Broncos. I mean, he's got two guys ahead of them, but that's another place where people constantly get hurt.
Yeah.
I'm with you on staying away from 49ers. I wouldn't touch any of them. Mike Evans.
So what the hell?
You know, Kittle. Brock Purdy, just because, I mean, I like Brock Purdy, he's a good player, but who's he throwing to, man? The only person I do like on the 49ers that could be good is Stribling, the wide receiver, the rookie wide receiver. He's the backup, so he's everyone's going to get hurt. He's going to be the only one playing. Mike Evans is already
hurt. And meanwhile, you got Brandon Ayuk, who's still trying to hold out hope that they're going to send him to the commies.
I don't know what that's about. It just needs to come to an end already. And whatever, guys, just let's agree to disagree. Either let him play or get him off your team. Just tired of talking about it. Tired of seeing it. Like, let the guy play. I like this Chiefs wide receiver, Cyrus Allen. He's got a lot of pop. He runs really fast. Caught 3 passes in the preseason game. He's got some speed to him. Sean Payton had nothing but good things to say about this wide receiver that he drafted. He's been saying he's had a good camp, and that's Pat Bryant. I like Bo Nix. I'm a Bo Nix fan. So, you know, these are the guys that I kind of like. People want to stay away from. You know, it's hard. It's just hard to replicate what you did last year, you know? People sometimes draft based on last year's numbers, but, there's not a lot of people that can repeat what they did last year. So if you're at the top of the draft, you know, the easiest thing is to pick up a Gibbs or pick up a Bijan Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
Tom. But you know what? Don't sleep on a Saquon Barkley. You know, the guy could be somebody you get later on in the draft. You can draft him earlier. I don't really like Omarion Hampton too much. You know, that guy got hurt last year pretty early. I don't like Justin Herbert. You know, I think he's too much thinking about his girlfriend. Jackson Dart's another guy. Scatabu's good, but, you know, I just don't trust the guy. I don't trust Trevor Lawrence. I don't think Brian Thomas Jr. is going to have a bounce back here. I think he is what he is.
Oh, my God.
I'm not a Genty fan either. Ashton Genty.
Well, he just dodged a bullet, thankfully, for him.
Yeah, Chase got hurt today. You know, so. And you don't know what you're going to get with Allen. I'm going to tell you right now, you don't know what you're going to get with Jared Allen. I mean, Josh Allen, because for a number of years, he's been taking hits. He's been their leading rusher, playing a new stadium now. You're a year older. Yeah. You know, it's just going to catch up to you at some point.
It's true. If you're a Bengal, if you're looking at Bengals, take Chase Brown. Like, why not? Yeah. Like, yeah. Why not?
I think the Bengals are going to score a lot of points. They're going to score a lot.
To extend Joe Burrow's career, this team needs to shift a little bit and have a little bit more on the ground. Now,
according to Joe Burrow, it's now or never. It's kind of taking on the Knicks slowly. I'm on board with him. I really am, because, you know, ever since he got to the Super Bowl, he's just been hurt. It's been one excuse after another. You know, I'm not saying they fixed all the problems on defense, but they went out and got a defensive tackle who can play. So how many more excuses? At what point do you and I start to think that maybe Joe Burrow is overrated? Right?
I mean,
at what point?
I've been there at this point. Like, if he's going to keep coming back for the Chad Pennington Award, like, that's going to be a problem. Because his greatest ability should be availability, and it's not. And now some of that is his fault. Some of that is not his fault.
Right.
But, it'll pass you by. Like, we were talking about with Josh Allen, too. Like, is it going to pass him by? Like, is he going to end up, like Elway, hanging on till 39 and finally winning one? Like, is that his career trajectory? Is Joe Burrow going to be around at 37, 38? To possibly win one, I don't know, but
yeah, I mean, I don't want to paint the picture for him, but he's kind of getting into that. He's actually gone to a Super Bowl.
He's gone to it.
He's
Marino.
He's kind of starting to look like the predecessor. He's starting to look like Carson Palmer, right?
Yeah,
you know, you've got all these receivers, you got these great running backs, and you guys can't get out of the first fucking round. You guys can't get out of your own way. I just feel like. Like I say, Josh Allen's going down the John Elway path. Seems like this guy is going down Carson Palmer's path, where he's going to be a Raider, he's going to be a Cardinal.
I mean,
and,
at least,
you know,
if he's lucky.
Say, he's a good pet, he was a good thrower, right? Because,
Carson Palmer had a good arm, yeah. But, you know, like, a more apt comparison, since he got to the Super Bowl already, probably Dan Marino. If he could carve out a career like Dan Marino had, okay. Like, we still think very highly of Dan Marino, even though he won Diddly Dick. So, you know, that could be, if that's Joe Burrow's lot in life, you could be, you know, there could be worse.
You like fishing? How about the outdoors? If you do, then Pinche Gringo is the lifestyle apparel brand for you. Built around the outdoors and not taking things too seriously, Pinche Gringo makes everyday shirts for guys and gals who live outdoors. Comfortable, wearable, and just interesting enough to get noticed. Go to pinchegringo.org, enter the promo code DNZ, and get an exclusive 15% off discount on any product. That's pinchegringo.org. Enter the promo code DNZ for an exclusive 15% off. That's pinchegringo.org.
Well, we have a plethora of players that are deciding that, you know, professional football, I'm not really ready for it yet. Or professional basketball, oh, I'm not really ready for it yet. We've got players that have gone to camp, even played in some preseason games in basketball and football, and have decided, I'm going back to college. and they have these judges and they have these rule stipulations in the NCAA that are letting them go back to college and play. So at what point do we draw the line in the sand and say, hey man, you can't go back and play. You got two sacks against the New York Jets and you're a pro now.
I think the moment, well, what defines a professional athlete? Because at this point, there's the collegiate athletes are signing contracts with NIL money, right? So it's not like you're, it's not once you cash a check to play, and you know, that's what they're doing. But we're in a situation where Pandora's box is wide open. I mean, Louisiana issued that temporary restraining order, mostly to benefit LSU at this point, because you have two players, I believe a tight end and a defensive end, who have foregone their pro careers, at least for now, and have cleared waivers and have already signed on with the LSU Tigers and Lane Kiffin. RJ Lewis, famously of St. John's, but former Celtic in camp. I believe he was with the Jazz as well, if I'm correct. Never played in a regular season game, so the eligibility is there. You know, this temporary restraining order is granting them the fifth year of eligibility. This is fucking Pandora's box, man. Right? What's going to stop anybody? Right? I was joking about this months ago. You know, like, who's to say a guy like Kevin Garnett, who has 4 years of college eligibility because he went from the NBA, you know, straight from high school. And Tracy McGrady went straight from high school. They have eligibility. And if they just, you know, on a lark, for shits and giggles, decided, hey, I'm going to enroll in, you know, bumfuck college, I got my eligibility. Like, I can do that. But I was kidding. I was being absurd. Or at least I thought I was when I made that statement. Now it's a reality. And, you know, the Big Ten, like I mentioned before, that they're taking a stand on this. The moment they start losing games and the moment they start losing big-time players, the Big Ten will cave because they're gutless. And at the end of the day, they want to win. And how are they going to win? They want to get the best players. They want to corner the market. They want to monopolize the talent. And how are you going to do that? You're going to get the best players available. And if these guys are the best players available, sure as shit, Michigan's going to be there. Ohio State's going to be there. Northwestern's going to be there. They will cave. They will renege on their principles and they'll sign this talent. But at this point, this is the point of no return. Like, the cat's out of the bag, toothpaste is out of the tube, whatever cliche you want to use, you can't go back now. Like, you can't go back to whatever it is that college athletics used to be. Because now you've got pros. I mean, you had it already. You had former NBA draft picks who were playing abroad signed on to play collegiate basketball last year. And now this is just the next step. So, like, at this point, it's professional. Like, it's just like, it's the lower tier. Right? It's like the USL compared to MLS, or like the, you know, MLS 2 compared to MLS. It's just a different league. It's a different system. And I'm having trouble distinguishing between the two because, you know, you have contracts, you have salaries, you have essentially free agency. But the cat's out of the bag here, man. And there ain't no going back.
Yeah, the thing that I'm having a tough thing understanding is the mentality of the player. Mm. Because as a player, right, you're juiced up, you're jazzed up, you're trying to make an NFL team.
Right.
You've played in an NFL game. You played an NFL preseason game. And I'm just curious as how does that mindset all of a sudden turn you off and say, I'm going back to college?
Right.
And then what is that, like, what does that look like for you if you ever tried to go back to the NFL? Because I've got to imagine that if you were in the NFL and you went back to college, there's no coming. I don't know if there's a way to come back, right? Like, I don't know if another team would invest time into you knowing what you've already done.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be better for the college, right? You're going to get a guy that was, you know, just in camp with the 49ers or just in camp with the Jets and maybe played well, or maybe, you know, he was privy to a style of football that nobody on your current roster has had before. So right away, you're getting an advantage in that player. This player just played with grown men, and he's coming back here. No, seriously, he's coming back here to play. And I don't know how you do that as a professional, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you
it's
know.
Not like you're going back to improve your draft stock. Like, most right of these guys, I think, were undrafted free agents.
I don't think a drafted player can do it. At least I don't think so. These are technically undrafted players. These are undrafted free agents, so they have that luxury. The Lewis thing is interesting because, like, he's 2 years removed.
Right, exactly.
He didn't get, I believe he signed a contract with the Celtics and the Jazz, something like that. And now he's going to play for LSU. This guy, you know, he's been gone for 2 years. He's coming to play basketball. I don't know. You, like you said, the toothpaste is out of the tube, but we've got to stop it somewhere, right?
Right.
I mean, at some point, we've got to be like, nah, man, like, you're out and you can't come back. But I get how it's attractive to a college team. And maybe that's the player saying to himself, you know what? I know what I am. I'm not a pro. I'm a college player. Let me go make my money in college, and then I'm done playing football. I'm done playing basketball.
Right, because you figure that the guys that are going back from the NFL are probably, like, you know, if that, practice squad guys. Like, they're not... The undrafted free agents that will make it big are very few and far between.
Well, that's the weird part, right? Is that you're gonna tell me that you're in camp with a team.
Mm-hmm.
You had a preseason game. You actually played well. And you're gonna go back to college? You're telling me none of the 30 NFL teams are interested in you? Not even for a workout? You're gonna turn that off and just go? In RJ Lewis's situation, he tried to play in the NBA, and it just didn't work. Right? He couldn't catch on. He couldn't. For 2 years. So now he knows what he is. It's a little different than a player that just got here 5 minutes ago.
Right.
It's like, we didn't even install the plays yet, man. It's like, and especially in football, they need the depth. If you're a linebacker or a lineman, if you're halfway decent, you're going to play.
Right.
You're going to play somewhere.
Teams. Even on special teams.
You're going to play. You know, the skilled positions is the one where, you know, you really have to be the cream of the crop. I'm not saying you don't have to be cream of the crop to play linebacker. I'm just saying they need bodies at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I need a Mike linebacker to run the practice squad. Like, that's what I need right now, you know? And, you know, to go back into college and dorm rooms and homework and stuff. Well, who am I saying? I'm always doing homework, right? But to go back to that, it's very odd.
We also don't know what LSU offered those two guys, right? We also don't know what that compares or how that compares to undrafted free agent, prove it kind of thing. You know, you're lucky if you make this team kind of situation.
I just think in football, it's a hard mentality to have to say that I'm going to go back to school.
Yeah.
Because how do you get back into that pro block? That's the thing having a tough time. Like, how do you show yourself around those guys again? You're never going to be looked at as an equal. Like, they're already mentally going to have an edge on you. You're the kid that went back to college.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And I really don't know how it's going to play out. Quantum Squares offers scientifically formulated energy bars with 100 milligrams of organic caffeine for long-lasting, stable energy. Every delicious bar provides balanced nutrition with 10 grams of plant-based protein, healthy fats, and complex carbs. Use our promo code DANDZ, and you can use that at quantumsquares.com. But moving over to baseball, where the Dodgers outfielder Kyle Tucker has not been what the Dodgers paid for. Kyle Tucker is currently batting .231 with 11 home runs and 57 RBIs. He's currently on a four-year, $240 million deal. Kyle Tucker is not going back to college. No. He has not hit a home run in 2 weeks. In his last 10 games, he's batting .128 with 5 hits and 3 RBIs. Last week, Tucker misplayed a ball on Sunday and then dropped a routine fly ball on Monday. He could be seen crying in the dugout. As Jimmy Dugan used to say, there's no crying in baseball. Is this the bad part of taking the Dodgers' money when you really don't deserve it?
Roger Hornsby was my manager, and he called me a talking bottle of pig shit. And that's when my parents had to drive all the way from Michigan to see me play the game. And did I cry?
No. No.
No. And you know why?
Because
there's no crying in baseball.
So, no crying.
There's no crying. But if you look at it, for the season last year and 500 ABs for the Cubs, Kyle Tucker had 133 hits. He already has 101. So it's not that bad, right? He had 25 doubles last year. He has 19 doubles. Not that bad. Not far off from the play that got him this $240 million contract. So is it the highlight? Is it 2021 and 2023 Kyle Tucker? No. Right? The power's not there. That's been going down for years. 30 to 30 to 29 to 23 to 22 to 11. Right? The production isn't where you would like it to be, but it's not so far off. Last year he had 73 ribbies. He's at 57. Like, this is, I hate to say, cracking under the pressure. But the microscope, like, it's, you know, it is trained on you and it is zoomed in. When you are on the LA Dodgers and you are the crown jewel of their offseason, like, there's certain expectations. And, like, that's kind of who he is. He's in the wheelhouse of who he is as a player. And they're still doing fine. But with that comes expectation. With that comes pressure. With the salary, you know, you're getting paid very handsomely. Very, very handsomely. You need more. The expectations are more. The expectations are better than what you were able to do for the Cubs last year. And, you know, I think that Kyle Tucker is a good baseball player. Is he a great baseball player? No, he's a good baseball player. He is a symptom. He's not the problem. The problem is you have a bunch of inflated salaries with inflated expectations for just okay ball players. But he is the latest in a line of guys that are just okay, but they're getting paid like superstars. And, you know, as far as, you know, crying, like, whatever, like, I we're joking about this, but, you know, to see a player emote like that, you feel for the guy. you do feel for the guy a little bit, because you want him, you never want to see that it's getting to him in that regard, you know. And it's okay to cry, it's okay to show emotion, you know. We're getting away from, you know, the Paul O'Neills of the world, where you can go and attack a water cooler and, you know, that's looked at more favorably than a guy who's crying. So I think that ultimately he'll be okay, but I don't think he's ever going to live up to the expectations of a $240 million contract. He's just going to be okay, because Kyle Tucker is an okay baseball player.
Yeah, he's an okay player, and like the segment was talking about, I was like, this is the ugly part of what the Dodgers did, right? It's like he had plenty of opportunities to go back to the Cubs or go to other teams and make a decent salary, but he took the highest salary that he could get, the only team that could offer it to him. And he's not performing like the other stars on this team. He's not performing like a $240 million man.
No.
And like you were saying, it's like, well, you know, this is who he is, though. His home runs have been going down. He's close to what he would have in RBIs. He's close to where he would have in hits. But the $240 million said, I haven't lived up to my potential yet. I'm going to get better. I'm going to be one of the best right fielders in the game. That's why you're paying me so much to do that. And now this is what happens. He's a guy who listened to his agent and said, hey, man, they're giving you the most money for the least amount of years. That's where we're going, because that's where the Players Association would want you to go, and that's where I want you to go. That's where you should go. Okay,
it's Mike Hampton to the Rockies, Derek Lowe to the Dodgers. Right. We've seen these mistakes before.
Just go there and play baseball, but you're not just playing baseball. You're playing with guys that have won World Series. You're playing with guys that the level of expectation there is every day, and that pressure is getting to you. You're letting it get to you to the point where you're dropping fucking routine fly balls. Now, I mean, you say you feel for him. I just, you know, you got to know what you are. And I have a feeling he knew what he was. And he did this because he was told to do it. And that's the part I feel bad. Because realistically, he probably should have just re-signed with the Cubs. Realistically, he probably should have just took less money and stayed with the Astros. Like, there are certain guys that are not this hired gun, this hired assassin, this stud player that just goes wherever he can go and plays really well wherever he goes. It doesn't work like that for everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So in this particular situation, it's looking ugly for him. And I don't know if it's going to get better. I don't think it is. I think it's going to get worse. You know, because you head into the playoffs, you think anybody in that locker room trusts him? I don't think anybody trusts him. And he's going to come up in a big spot, and he's not going to come through. And the crowd's going to turn on him, and everybody's going to.
I don't know. And that's the thing. Like, and that's the problem with the high salaries, is that it's an inflation of a guy's self-worth, a player's self-worth. Because you're paying this amount of money. This is the price tag. Everybody's got a price. And it makes you wonder, you know, if he was comfortable in Chicago, maybe he should have stayed there. If the expectations of the Mets weren't, you know, as high, right? Because, yeah, even though, you know, the Mets had these ideas of contending this year before the season went to shit, you know, Kyle Tucker probably would have been a fine addition to the Mets organization. But, you know, we've seen this before. Kyle Tucker is just the latest victim of the cost of doing business and the inflated cost of salary. And we've seen the union do stuff like this before when, you know, A-Rod wanted to take a pay cut. Nope, you're not taking a pay cut. But you're not going to the Red Sox because that would mean you have to take a pay cut. So, you know, eventually, you figure Kyle Tucker will... The law of averages would dictate that he would come back to who he is.
So, I think, I think the problem is going to become is, like, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. He's going to come up in big spots in the playoffs. He's going to come... He's going to fail. He's going to get booed. And it's just going to be just, get me out of here. It's going to get me out of your situation. I mean, listen, you had A-Rod, like we talked about, went to the Rangers, highest paid baseball player ever, and there was a level of expectation there that he put on himself. Not necessarily everybody put on him. He put on himself and started taking steroids just to keep up, just to keep going, just to be ready and be the best player available. That's what he did. Right. He didn't drop a fly ball. He didn't cry. He was like, all right, I got this. So, you know...
Now, A-Rod also won an MVP for the Rangers.
Sure did.
Would Kyle Tucker win an MVP for the Dodgers? This Kyle Tucker?
No, because this Kyle Tucker's crying in the corner of the dugout because he doesn't know how to handle this kind of pressure. There's no outlet for him. He's not gonna do steroids, and there's nothing. He's not gonna start doing drugs and become an addict. Like, he has no outlet. There's no outlet for him. He's in unfamiliar territory. He's playing way below his pay grade because he's never been that kind of guy, and they're paying him like to be that kind of guy. And granted, the Dodgers don't need him to. They'll be fine.
Right.
They'll be fine. They're still gonna win the World Series. They don't need him, and he's not playing like everybody else in that team, like Max Muncy or Mookie Betts or Freddie Freeman or Shohei Ohtani, and the list goes on and on. So, you know, even Tommy Edmonds come back as being a monster right now. It's just, you know, it's very, the optics of it are bad. And at the end of the day, the best thing for him to do is probably to be out of town.
More Labs Morning Recovery is the number one alcohol recovery supplement that helps you wake up clear-headed and refreshed. Clinically proven and trusted by thousands, with 20 million plus bottles sold and a 4.9 star rating, it works. Try it risk-free. Enjoy an exclusive 25% off discount on any product using our promo code DNZ at morelabs.com. That's 25% off using the promo code DNZ. Morelabs.com.
But a person who got out of town and arrived into another town is Mr. Klay Thompson. Was bought out by the Dallas Mavericks and has decided to join the Miami Heat. And he said it's going to feel good to start winning again. Was this a good choice for Klay Thompson?
Well, what did Miami need, according to us? They needed a shooter. Right, you have Bam, you have Giannis, I believe you have Wiggins, you needed a shooter. Klay Thompson can freaking shoot. But we know that Klay Thompson can shoot. And, you know, it has gone down. Last year was actually his worst statistical free field goal percentage, 39.3%. So, you hope that as expectations rise, so too do Klay's numbers. Because when expectations were there, my man was 43%, 44%. In his heyday, you're looking at 47%, 48%. And that's just from the field, right? For three, 383. That was 38.3%. Not great. But for threes, it's all right. But when you're Klay Thompson and your career high was 43.9%, like, that is a big difference. That's quite a large difference. But what was he surrounded with, right? You have a rebuilding Mavericks team. Here, expectations are different. We talked about expectations with Kyle Tucker. The expectations are different here. And Klay has delivered in the past. So I think there will be a bump. I don't know if it's going to be a complete career resurgence, but Klay Thompson will benefit from being in Miami. He absolutely will benefit from being in Miami, and Miami will benefit from having him. He's a veteran presence who knows what's expected, he knows what the game is, and he knows what his role is. I'm going to go stand in that fucking corner. You're going to pass me the ball. I'm going to shoot. I'm Robert Ory. Like, that's my role here. Big Shot Bob. That's my role. And I think he will excel in that role. Is that enough to get Miami out of the play-in tournament? I don't know. I'm not enamored enough with Miami to say that they're not like six or seven. Right? I'm not so all aboard the Heat train. But it's a good move, and I think that it's going to be a mutual beneficial move for both Heat and Klay Thompson.
Well, if I was him, that's not where I would have went. I would have definitely went to 76ers, Pinky, whatever. I don't care. Because that's where I want to go. At this stage in his career, like, you know, he's just a hired gun. The Heat's okay. Like you said, does this get him out of the play-in tournament? Maybe. But again, I think he's going to find himself in familiar territory. He's going to find himself in a team that Giannis is hurt. Bam's playing.
Shocker.
He's going to be asked to, you know, basically be the guy from last year, you know? And that's not what he's capable of doing at this point. So I like that he got out of the West. There's no point in staying in the West. I mean, unless he could have caught on with the Spurs. I don't even think it would be worthwhile to go to the Lakers. He said he wanted to go to the Mavericks to play with Luka, but that didn't work out. Warriors don't want you back. Cleveland might have been an idea, but, you know, again, they're not a winning team either. So,
right.
You know, he's hanging around. I mean, as long as he's having fun playing basketball, it's fine, but not for me. If I was him, I would have went 76ers. But if you're the Heat, of course you want Klay Thompson. Of course you want a shooter. Take him all day.
100%. And, you know, are you paying for past reputation? Sure. But once you get to, you know, once you get to this point in a career like Klay Thompson, you're not selling people on potential. Like, this is what I could be. You're like a year from retirement, bro. You're 38 years old, right? So what can you honestly sell me on? It's not the future, not the past. It's right now. What can I do for you? Now, were there better options? Maybe. But I think that it's a good flyer. It's a good, Heat culture. We talk about Heat culture. He's not a guy who's seemingly going to shy away from that. Like I said, he knows the score. So, can that kind of goose him and bring the old competitive fire back? Sure. Why not? But it wouldn't surprise me either if he struggles, and then they cut him, and then he ends up with Philly anyway. So there is a possibility there, right? Or Miami didn't do shit, they don't live up to expectations, and then what happens? They trade him to Philly. So he could still end up in that desired location of Philly. Now, we'll see, especially if what you were saying happens, right? If Giannis's back flares up. And now you have Wiggins, Bam, and Klay. That's not a winning combination. That's not a winning combination at all. So this is all contingent upon health and upon the performance of one Mr. Antetokounmpo. Otherwise, it's all going to fall apart in South Beach.
Elevate your coffee routine with Strong Coffee Company's Black Instant Blend and Lattes. Both feature organic coffee, protein, MCTs, and adaptogens for sustained energy and mental clarity. You can use our discount, DANDZ, and you can use that code at strongcoffeecompany.com.
more or less?
All right, boys and girls, we have some statements, and they're either more likely or less likely to happen. More or less, number one. Spencer Jones proves to be a legitimate outfielder for the New York Yankees.
I'm going to say more likely than this. I think he can, ever since Dominguez and Volpe went down, he's been playing a solid outfield. I want to say he's batting like 257, 267, somewhere in that area. Still strikes out a lot, but, I mean, he's having good at-bats, as Boone would say.
It's right in front of him.
It's right in front of him. He looks great in the cage. So, I think next year he's going to be their starting center fielder. I think he's proved enough this year that he can do it.
I'm going to go more likely as well, but that strikeout number is not good. In 158 at-bats, he struck out 64 times. Now, is that because he's not recognizing breaking pitches? Is that because he's getting beat on 100-mile-an-hour fastball? Like, these are the things that,
it's because,
you know,
he's doing what he's told. Swing as hard as you can and try to drive the ball over the fence. That's one.
All right, he connected for 7. He's got 7 homers. So he's got pop. He's definitely got pop. So
next year,
the potential is there.
Around 20.
20, I mean, let's see. If he clicks this year, he could probably end up with 15. Because we still have a significant amount of time.
He home runs in a month. He's only got 7 this far.
It's,
I think,
possible.
Best case scenario
if things click,
like 10. That's what I'm saying. I think he doubles the number next year.
If he clicks, right? Because in the minors, he's 20-30 homer potential. Maybe even more. But that's also against quadruple-A pitching. Here, short porch. Well, from what I can see, he can hit the fastball. So, he wouldn't be the first minor leaguer who can't really hit a breaking ball. We're seeing that with the Mets with Ronnie Mauricio. We've seen that with Jason Dominguez. We've seen that, you know, there's a lot of baseball players. There are a lot of can't-miss prospects who miss the curveball. So, what I do like is that on the periphery, the 428 slugging, that's okay, right? So, out of his 37 hits, 15 have been doubles or homers. Not bad. Yeah, the one triple, that one outlier triple. So, there's
he's only got 8
pieces
doubles
to work with. Yeah, he only has 8 doubles. So 8 doubles, 7 homers, 1 triple, 22 ribbies. He's not in the batting order. He's not in a position to really drive in runs. But there's potential there. There's good bones. If he was a house, you would say he has good bones. But that strikeout total should scare the shit out of you. That strikeout total with only 18 walks. 18 walks, 64 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Gotta work on that, son. Maybe you go to Arizona Fall League. Maybe you kind of, you know, go to the Dominican. I don't know where you go. Gotta work on that. Because that's the thing that's going to keep you from taking the step from prospect to regular, right? Because there's flashes, and pretty decent outfielder outside of what we saw in the game that we went to. He's actually shown that he can handle the defensive position too, for the most part, outside of the gaffe that we saw when we watched him against Scooble. more or less number two, Jason Dominguez's rookie cards will regain their value.
Oof. Oof. His Bowman Chrome Super Refractor Auto 1/1 was bought for $474,000. A baseball card was bought for $474,000. Now it's only worth $45,000. Who the fuck would buy that garbage for $45,000? That's what I'm saying.
Who would buy it for $45?
So my short answer is no. And I can't believe that people are still trying to get tons of money for this guy. Like, I recently went to Pieces of the Game. They were selling his rookie card for $400. Fuck off. Fuck off. This guy might not ever touch the major leagues again. And this is the problem with, you know, people, like, you know, trying to put this stuff in the air. Is now, how do you get it back down to earth? I mean, his Bowman Chrome Orange Auto, a BGS 9.5, was bought for $18,000. Now it's worth $4,000. But who's paying $4,000 for this card? This guy is never, I don't think he's ever going to put on a Yankee uniform. He's going to be part of like the bullshit trade that nobody ever hears about. So I am going to say less likely.
It's less likely. Now, the reason why it's less likely is because of the performance. Not for the value of the card or anything like that. It's performance as compared to expectation. What were we sold on Jason Dominguez?
The Martian. I thought he was going to be the future. He's going to be the outfielder. He's going to be a home run hitter.
Power is not where you thought it was going to be. He has 22 career homers. Last year he had 10. This year he had 6. 200 at-bats this year. He only has 46 hits. Outfield, he's not that great. He's just a guy. He's just a guy.
He's Helito Ramos. That's who he is. He's the same guy. It's just that one guy plays more.
I mean, if you believe in war, and I know some of you guys believe in war out there, 0.2, 0.0, 0.5, 0.0. He is flat fucking average. He offers you nothing compared to the other guy. Like Helio Ramos. Like, you plug in anybody, 0.0. He doesn't move the goddamn needle. But what were you sold on? You were sold on he's the second coming of Bernie Williams. You were sold on, you know, five tools. You were sold on he's untouchable.
Right.
The only thing you can't touch is a breaking ball.
He's untouchable.
He's untouchable. Volpe, untouchable.
No shit.
You're starting second baseman next year, Anthony Volpe. They're doing the smart thing. Like, yeah, he ain't fucking working out at shortstop. Let's move him to second base. Let's see what we can get at him. You know? And he's a change of scenery. He's not a prospect that's going to get you something special. Like, he's a guy you could have traded for Helio Ramos. Because what are you really offering? Not much. He's got tools. He's toolsy. That's great. Put it together. Because it's not coming together. None of it is coming together the way the Yankees had hoped it was. Now, the only way this becomes more likely is if there's a trade. Like, if he goes elsewhere and hears something else. A different voice that says, hey, do this. Don't do that. They fucking ruined you. Do this instead. If somebody can unlock the potential, dare I say the Rays, because they unlock everybody, except for Freddy Peralta. Freddy Peralta, yikes. Jesus. But sometimes it's just not a fit. And sometimes you're a quadruple A player. I think it's more likely he's a quadruple A player than it is a change of scenery candidate. That's me. But yeah, these absurd dollar figures, like P.T. Barnum said, there's a sucker born every minute.
Step outside of your safe area and make a statement without saying much with FCK Clout Lifestyle Apparel. Embrace the colorful chaos and stay emotionally regulated in their graphic tees, hoodies, snapbacks, accessories, and more. Go to fckclout.com today and check out current season and past season merchandise for men and women. Get it while you can. That's fckclout.com. Check them out today. fckclout.com. Who's the best of the worst this week in sports? The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. It's time for the Alleged Superstar of the Week. You know how it goes. You put up a poll on our Instagram account at Fade Route Podcast, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote, and you vote. And the winner of said vote gets a shout in this year's show, takes home the coveted ass trophy. And do you know who took home the coveted ass trophy?
I don't.
That'd be Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels. Yeah. Why am I not surprised? Why am I not surprised at all? Out of respect for Jaden Daniels, he was not the fifth candidate. But that was last week. This is this week. Who are your nominees for Alleged Superstar of the Week, D?
All right, first up, I've got the 49ers owner, Jed York.
Ooh.
Owner, billionaire, was arrested during a prostitution ring in which he tried to pay $140 to someone who lived in a trailer park for intercourse. I just don't know, man. I just don't know. Jed York, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number two, I've got LA Dodgers outfielder Kyle Tucker, the $240 million man, can't hit, can't catch fly balls, and he's playing on the best team in baseball. He broke Jimmy Dugan's rule this week where he wept in the dugout after dropping a routine fly ball. Kyle Tucker, you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number three, I've got Browns starting quarterback Deshaun Watson. During an interview over the weekend, you said you had no regrets. Really, bro? Not even one? Not one? No regrets? Just poor choice of words, my friend. Just poor choice of words. Sean Watson, you are my little superstar. What do you got, Z?
Good choices. You can't go wrong with that. Jed York is just, you know, when you're... When you're caught up in the potential human trafficking ring, that's when you know you got problems, my friend. That's when you know that shit is not going well for you. I'm gonna start with Manchester United. Third in the table last year in the Prems. Expectations are high. You turned over your midfield. A full season of Michael Carrick as manager. You expect big things. And what do you get instead? You get your doors blown off by Hull City. A team that just got promoted to the Premier League. Not only did they just get promoted to the Premier League, but they also weren't supposed to be in the championship. They were supposed to be another team. So there's that. Completely outplayed. completely outclassed. Yeah, 2-0. It doesn't look that bad on the score sheet when you watch the game. Absolutely freaking atrocious. And you already got Man U supporters looking for their mouthpiece. Man U, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Number 2, George Lombard Jr., shortstop for the New York Yankees. Burst onto the scene with his power and with his bat. But George Lombard Jr. has 4 errors already. And wouldn't you like to know who that ties him with? Anthony Volpe. They have the same fucking number of errors this year. Except George Lombard Jr. has committed 4 in 17 games compared to Volpe's 4 in 56 games. Can we stop with the hype train, please? Can we take that defensive run saved and kind of put that to the side and, you know, let this kid be a kid. Let him be a prospect. Let him prove it before you say he's the greatest shortstop. He's the second best behind Bobby Witchett. Shut up. You sound like a goddamn idiot. George Lombard Jr., you are my alleged superstar of the week. And number 3, oy vey, the Seattle Mariners. Not a very good week for the Seattle Mariners. A 22-0 whooping at the hands of the Brew Crew. Thanks for coming. Jeez Louise. To the point where J-Rod forgot how many outs there were. He was so punch drunk. Thought there were 3 outs. It was actually 2. Threw the ball into the stands.
Oh, I saw that.
Thanks for coming, J-Rod. Moron. Moron. You have these giant-ass fucking scoreboards. They all say how many outs there are.
Sleeping?
Oof, what are you doing? That was on Tuesday. They kind of righted the ship until Sunday when they got their doors blown off 19-2 against the Cubs. Yeesh. This was a team that was supposed to be a sleeper because of its pitching. Oh, yeah, that shit's dead. that ship has sailed. That ship has sailed, my friend. That ship has sailed. No fucking way. You give up 41 runs in 2 games in a week. No.
Who am I not paying out here?
Dunzo. Kiss that baby goodbye.
Meanwhile, Kyle Raleigh, I think he doesn't even have like 60 hits this year.
He just got 60, I think. I think he just got it. Because he had a 3 homer game, I think, yesterday. Woo! Good for Kyle Raleigh. But, yeah. He had more homers last year than he has hits this year. Between him and Aaron Judge, this has been a lost year for both of them. So,
when's that guy coming back?
Yeah. Fifth of never. Yeah. Fifth of, along with Giancarlo Stanton with his calf strain.
Oh, Carl, yeah,
what are you doing?
He's done, though.
He's done. No, he's done. He's done.
Thanks for playing. And
absolutely done.
It's like, hey, Cash, Giancarlo's hurt. Yeah, I know he's hurt. He hasn't played all year. No. He actually strained his calf running today.
What
the fuck are you talking about? Me during like warm-ups? Well, yeah, he was like stretching out.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, how bad is it? I think he's done for the year. The year?
What do you mean the year?
Play this year.
It's August. It's fucking.
So he can't
August. What do you mean?
He can't run. What can he do?
You need your arms and legs. You need your arms and legs when you play baseball. I don't know.
That might have sunk you. That might be the nail in the coffin.
No Judge, no Stanton, no shot.
Well, I mean, we still don't know what the Judge thing is, but, I mean...
He's not coming back, dude. He's not coming back.
What is it? What did he hurt?
I don't know. They can't tell you if it's a rib fracture, if it's a rib cartilage fracture, if it's a rib strain. Like,
Jaden Daniels dislocated his elbow and came back 2 weeks later and threw a touchdown pass.
Apparently, he's Wolverine compared to fucking Aaron Judge. Oh my god. Absolutely ridiculous. Jesus. Seattle Mariners, you are my alleged superstar of the week. I think we said our piece. Go to our Instagram poll at Fade Route Podcast and vote. And vote and vote and vote. And for our nominees.
You're better than that. Just do better. Just do better.
This has been The Fade Route with D&Z. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, or wherever you listen to your podcast. So until next time, stay fade, everyone.
Time for us to run the go route. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of our podcast. If you liked what you heard and you want to hear more, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, rate us 5 stars, turn on subscription notifications, and share on social media. Tell your friends and spread the word.